Welcome to the Video Tourism Podcast, and I'm Kwaji Brenton Williams. The Video Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. Ahead of the SAIT Africa Tourism Leadership Forum and Awards, slated for the 4th to the 6th October in Gaborone, Botswana, I caught up with Dan Souza, a speaker and a global leader in corporate innovation with expertise in fostering corporate venturing and startup creation. He tells me he wants to see influential and people in power who can influence and create places for safe practice to change the tourism sector. So welcome to the Video Tourism Podcast, and I have Dan Souza, who is a speaker, who will be a speaker at African Tourism Leadership Forum, slated for the 6th and to the 8th of October in Botswana. Dan, good morning.
Morning. How are you, Kojo?
I'm well. How have you been?
Oh, good, good. The weather's getting better in the UK. We had a bit of a weird summer, but it's going well. And, you know, business is getting better after the macroeconomic decline. So, yeah, we'll see how things go into the last quarter of the year. But all good so far.
Great. Let's start from the last, you know, our last meeting, which was in Namibia, at the African Youth in Tourism Innovation, of course, which you were a judge, as well as, you know, mentoring some of the candidates who put their work forward. Give us just not an overview, but your impressions around it and how things are evolving from then to now.
Yeah, so it's been good to. That would be the second event that I've been to for Namibia with the youth tourism and innovation. So it's especially good to come and see the different problems that young entrepreneurs are solving. I think we get a very bad view on entrepreneurship and innovation when people just build really cool products with no or solutions. With no problem to solve. So it's good to see that a lot of the young entrepreneurs that were coming up with ideas had a real problem and issue to solve, and then matched that with a solution which could be really impactful in the market, whether that's tourism. We had some decarbonization projects. We had very 101 tourism products, all serving problems that different players in the industry are facing, showing demand for their product and creating a solution from it. So yeah, that was good to see. And then also, yeah, it was a great event for bringing thought leaders together in the space, you know, coming as a speaker from the innovation space, very industry agnostic on my side. I don't speak just about tourism. And I don't claim to be an expert in tourism, but seeing and hearing people that are in that space and can provide insights and give me a learning opportunity as well was great. So I'm hoping that they actually do more of these and expand it out in the future.
I mean, yes, of course, tourism is everything. Everything is tourism. And I always go back to Kwachi when you know he says that to. At this event now, from the youth event, obviously now we enter into the Africa Tourism Leadership Forum, which obviously is one of the most sought after Pan-African event on the continent. Now you'll be speaking. You're not just speaking. I think you'll be engaged with some of the clinics that will be there. What are your expectations, and what will you be sharing with you know, young people and the tourism trade and business at the events? Because it's not just about young people, but it's a business exchange of which tourism can just be the matchmaker or, you know, the gateway. Tell us what your experience that you'll be sharing at this event.
Yeah, so I think, you know, good question. And it kind of takes the tourism event to the next level. The tourism and innovation events to the next level. Okay, so just thinking now about what I want to see, It's, you know, we've spoken about youth tourism, young entrepreneurs who are creating great solutions to key problems in the industry or inefficiencies. In this event, we've got very influential and let's say powerful people who can influence change. And, you know, the main thing coming from an innovation perspective and an outsider to tourism, in a sense, I want to see influential and people in power create spaces for safe practice to change the industry. And then, to put that simply, a lot of industries, legacy industries, including tourism, I can only imagine that there are lots of inefficiencies and ways that business is done as usual, which people are reluctant to change and improve, because it's additional work, or, you know, people are compensated on legacy structures. What I want to see is that people are willing to create space for change, allow new ideas to come into the industry, and then back them with resources and policies that can empower innovation to change the industry in a good way. In these sorts of situations, when you've got change and innovation happening, it doesn't happen in isolation. It needs to happen as a collaborative way. So people sharing ideas, working together, lots of partnerships, even between competitors. And so that needs to be, you know, brought out in the event, cross collaboration, essentially. And then, yeah, like going back to the resources, setting up safe spaces, you know, hubs, labs, innovation programs, government-backed programs that help even not just young entrepreneurs, but industry leaders to tap into some of those countrywide resources and have that safe space to innovate. It can be very lonely innovating and trying to create change in a quite legacy market. So yeah, just having those conversations would be great to see. And really just, you know, an umbrella to all of that is enthusiasm for innovation. I know that this event is not all about innovation, but it plays a big part into the, you know, the change over time of the industry. I want to see enthusiasm, you know, when people are talking about change and new additions to, you know, the industry, talking with enthusiasm and really looking to back it rather than just talk about it. That's what I want to see, Kojo.
Okay, great. Again, I mean, one of your strengths, you know, is in the area of you having, you know, access to funds, you know, to business people, and sometimes they're looking to invest in some of these projects. Now, if you look at an area that you'll be speaking, or, you know, be part of the panel, is a tourism masterclass session.
Yeah.
What kind of problem do you want to solve, you know, during this session? Bear in mind the kind of expertise that you bring to the table.
Yeah, so you know, my background is innovation and creating new solutions for corporates, governments, and investment firms. So a large part of that is, well, what does a good entrepreneurial startup or venture look like? You know, whether it's from a founder's perspective or a corporate perspective, you tend to run the same methodology with both, with nuances to obviously the structure and things like that. Talking from a youth entrepreneurship perspective, it's about empowering young people to be curious and to be on the lookout for problems that need to be solved. And it sounds very simple, right? You know, problems in the market that can have a solution, but it's a bit more difficult than that. You've got to be kind of, put it this way, you know, looking around, turning over rocks and seeing what's crawling out. You know, you've got to go into the places where people don't really want to look under, because things are going well as they are, and see what you can do to make it better. Whether that's an inefficiency on, you know, people waiting for something, or things are too expensive, or yeah, it could be just a number of different inefficiencies which you see in a business that can all be turned into a new business concept. You've got a lot of startups that are coming out in the tourism space now, which is, instead of looking on 20 different internet tabs for a hotel and flights and, you know, what you do on a holiday, can you centralize that and create a platform which does all of that hard work for you? And a lot of these solutions are now using AI, for instance, to tackle that problem. Benefits of solving that problem is time spent for efficiency for customers. You've also got some cost saving, because we're doing it through one platform, which is your kind of banking solutions. And you've just got a nicer experience for consumers. So if you look at those problems and wrap them up into a solution, that's what I want youth entrepreneurs to be thinking about, is problems to be solved and great solutions to solve them. Simple as that. And then also, you know, on top of that, how do you look into a market and see if it actually is a right solution? There could be a problem, but what I want people to be thinking about is that $1 million problem? You know, hypothetically, is that problem that I want to solve? Would I spend as much money as I could to solve that, because it was such a pain point? You know, from my perspective, I would pay a massive amount of money to not have to look through 20 different internet tabs to book my 1 week holiday. So if someone can come along and solve that, then I'd be willing to spend maybe even a premium to do that, and the convenience associated with that. That's just me, but if there's thousands and thousands of Dans that are having the same issue, that's going to be really promising as a business, because then you're testing the market and understanding that there's more than just one customer. And then this goes back to kind of the horror stories, which I probably talk about in the event, is what happens if you do build a great product and you have no customers. You know, it's a really fancy product, it solves a solution, but the market for that problem and solution is very small. There's only a couple of people that are potentially going to use it. You know, avoiding that by doing the research, the simple research and talking to people beforehand can stop you from spending a lot of money on something that people don't actually want at scale. So these are the types of things that I want to talk about. And then obviously, you know, fielding lots of questions. So obviously the people in the room are going to have the opportunity to ask lots of questions to me and the other speakers. So, you know, that's a good opportunity to kind of be there in person and ask those specific questions that we don't manage to cover in the speaking slots. So yeah, it's going to be, you know, don't know what to expect basically, Kojo, but I have a bit of a game plan.
Okay, no, that's a great sneak peek into what we should all expect, you know, at the event. Thank you so much, Dan, and look forward to catching up with you in Haboroni, Botswana.
Amazing, good to see you, and look forward to seeing you in person.